decision number two. My name is David. I'm going to be your room host for today. The workshop name is Why God Gives Us Limits. And our presenter is Bill Kirk.
Thank you. Yay.
Thank you. They're applauding for you, just so you know that. Good morning, everyone. Before we open the Book of God, 30 minutes. Inside the outline, there's just a few hopefully helpful tools in the journey. 15 things that healthy people don't do. What's the life lesson from the monkey bars? Truth to remember about your seasons. How many of you know that it's just life is full of seasons? Yeah. Different seasons. 21 ways that humility lessens stress in your life. Discovering your place. How many of you know there's a difference? Pastor Gray just did an incredible job tying this together. The cross and the death of God's Son makes us worthy, but that doesn't mean everybody is useful. You can be worthy. God establishes our worth, but using your gifts establishes our usefulness. And then something on time management that can be a blessing. John Brown was the 55th governor of Kentucky. Anybody know what he was famous for? Primarily three things. One, he was the governor of Kentucky. Two, he married Miss America. He married Miss America. What was her name? Phyllis George. Thank you. You're over 30. Whoever said that. No offense. And he also bought KFC from Harlan Sanders. Colonel Sanders, he bought it for $2 million in 64 and sold it in 71 for $258 million. He's a great businessman. While John Brown was the governor, he spoke at a local high school assembly. And after he finished speaking, the principal of the high school asked him if he would like to have lunch with the students in the cafeteria, to which John Brown said, absolutely. So as he was walking through the true story, no exaggeration. As he was walking through the cafeteria line, the girl behind the counter put a roll, a scoop of vegetables, and a piece of chicken on his plate. And the governor said, could I have two pieces of chicken? And the girl said, no. He said, do you know who I am? She said, no. He said, I'm the governor of Kentucky. She said, do you know who I am? And he said, no. She said, I'm the girl that passes out the chicken. And everybody gets one piece. I just have one piece of chicken for you today. One piece of chicken. God has given everyone in this room limits. Superman is dead. Superwoman does not exist. We all have limits. I'll prove it to you. In 1 Chronicles 17, verse 1 to 5, now it came to pass, David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, I dwell in the house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remains under curtains. Then Nathan said to David, do all that's in your heart, for God is with you. It came to pass the same night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and tell David, my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but I have gone from tent to tent, from one tabernacle to another. Here's the context for sake of time. I'll speed read the context, and then we'll leap into the outline. It's a 90-minute lesson, but it's going to take 30 minutes today. But it's yours as a gift. And pray that, how many of you know humility will give all of us two things that will allow us to have access to God? Humility gives us access to God. And number two, it allows God to give us wisdom through other people. Yeah. But this is yours. This is yours to take, develop it, can make a series out of it. But here's the context of 1 Chronicles 17. David is advanced in wealth and power, and he wants to use his treasures for good, to build a house for God. It's a great idea, you think, right? But David's a man of war. He's not a church builder. He's a soldier. He's not a project manager. And David shares his vision to build a temple with the prophet Nathan. And what does Nathan tell David in verse 2? Do everything that's in your heart, for God is with you. In other words, go for it, David. The time is now. You're the man. What happens that night? The Bible says God's word comes to Nathan, and Nathan is told by God, Nathan, you're an idiot. You can't call prophets that, but Nathan, that was a bad idea. Now you go and tell David, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. In verse 4. I wrote down, it's no secret, we often say, God, I don't want anything less than what you have for me. Why don't we ever say, God, I don't want anything more than what you have for me? It's easy to feel inadequate and that you're underperforming. It's easy to feel like we should be doing more than what we're doing. It's easy to ask ourselves, will I ever be doing enough? It's easy to add more to an already too busy life. The big question should not be, am I doing enough? The bigger question is, am I doing what God has called me to do? Amen. What does 1 Chronicles 17 reveal? Reveals the importance of embracing the limits of our calling. David wanted to do more. God said to him, that's not my will, David. It's not what I've given you to do. So my question is, why has God given us limits? Why does God give us limits? What are the reasons why we might have limits? Would anyone like to take a stab at that? Why has God given all of us limits? Anybody here would like to take...
To preserve us,
good.
To protect us, good.
Anybody else? Why has God given us limits? Yes, because he loves us, yes.
So we can depend on him,
good, yes.
Keep us humble.
By humility and the fear of the Lord, riches and honor in life.
So we don't become our own God.
Tim Keller would have been proud to hear you say that.
That's right.
Yeah, our little gods. Yes.
There are different seasons to life.
Different seasons need different things. Really good. Okay, get your outline. You ready? Got a pen? If you don't have a pen, reach in your neighbor's purse, take out $10 for lunch because it's going to be better than Chick-fil-A greasy fish chicken sandwich. Just kidding. Oh, chill. Shut up. Minutes to talk you out of not eating fried chicken. Just kidding. All right, let's go. Why God gives us limits. Number one, maybe because he loves us more than we realize. How many of you know God knows your strengths and your weaknesses? He knows our limits will protect us, like parents protect their kids with the bicycle or swimming in the pool or in the yard or running around with a knife in their hand in the middle of the living room. He knows it's possible to step on a frozen pond when the ice is too thin to hold us up. God has information that you and I are not aware of. I'll prove it to you. Acts 16, Paul is headed to Bithynia to plant a church. The door slams closed at the last second, and Paul has to make a choice. Am I going to sit here and stew in my own juice? Or I'm going to keep walking and trusting God? My discovery is God always knows what would destroy us, and he always knows what's best for us. The theme of my life the last couple years has been from Psalm 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything he does. How many of you know the Bible doesn't say we can understand everything he does, but we can trust everything he does. Write this down somewhere. I don't think it's on your study. Never judge the future by the season you are in. Amen. Lord, help me to never judge the future by the season we are in. And remember this, feelings are meant to be felt, not followed. Why does God give us limits? Number two, maybe so we will learn to ask for help. Why is it so hard for so many believers, I included, to ask for help? Any thoughts? Why is it hard for some people to ask for help? Not you, of course, but the person sitting next to you. How many of you are not perfect yet? Oh, gee, only half. Why does God give us limits? Maybe so we'll learn to ask for help. Limits reveal our need and the blessing of gospel community. Limits reveal the power of a team. Limits reveal our desperate need for humility so that we'll access the wisdom and the help of other people. No one grows outside of gospel community. My son tells me all the time, people don't grow, Dad, it's just because they hear your sermons. People grow when they take the sermon and they put it into process in community with other people. Excuse me. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay not to have all the answers. And it's okay not to be Superman. Here's my discovery. Asking God and other people for help doesn't lessen you as a person. It makes you a better person. Well, March 28, 1990, Michael Jordan scored a career high, 69 points against the Cleveland Cavaliers. 18 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals, and 69 points. His highest scoring game in his history. After the game, a reporter in the locker room couldn't get close enough to interview Michael Jordan. I grew up with 2 MJs, Michael Jackson and Michael Jordan. That's what happens when you're 116 years old. The reporter walked over to a rookie at his locker and he asked Stacey King, I quote, "How many points did you score tonight?" And Stacey King said, "1. The reporter then said, "What are you going to tell your kids one day about tonight?" And Stacey King said, "I'm going to tell them, I quote, I'll never forget the night that Michael Jordan and I combined to score 70 points. And my 1 point helped us get into overtime where we won 117 to 114. What's the moral of the story? It's never about the one. It's not who scores the most. It's always about the team. And all of us are in this together. I remember when my wife died, and she was buried on September 26th, and Doug DeMent called me, my hunting partner, said, we're going hunting opening day still. I want you to know that. And I said, well, not this year. No, we're going hunting. I said, well, no, not this year. You know, buried Laura yesterday, and season opens in 3 days. And he said, no, I'm picking you up, and this is where you're going to be, and this is the way it's going to go down. So I got in his real Toyota. And we drove 94 miles down the thruway and the Herkimer, the back way, to get to Cooperstown, to get in a tree stand. And looking back, here's what I learned. Doug never talked to me the whole trip. We went 94 miles. He engaged in zero conversation. And I realized in that moment how much we need other people. Yeah. Just his presence. Mm-hmm. Knowing he was there. As a caregiver my whole life, I love what I do. But there came a moment where I realized I needed help. Why does God give us limits? Number 3, maybe so we'll learn that God knows more than we do. Duh, can you believe that? Are you serious? There's always a bigger picture. Can you say bigger picture?
Bigger picture.
And the world does not revolve around me. Well, that's a no-brainer. 1,000, when I was in a wheelchair with a rheumatic fever for 2 years and had a bale of bed and a bedpan, and my grandmother rescued me out of a family that didn't go to church or know the Lord, people used to do this ungodly thing and come and visit to the house where I was laying, and they would bring me gifts. And the 2 things they used to bring me were these pages with dots on them and numbers. that made no sense to me. And they brought me puzzles. I hate puzzles. Puzzles are of the devil. Like Chick-fil-A sandwich. Oh, no. People, my mother's friends would bring me a 1,000-piece puzzle of the Indian Ocean. Every piece was blue. Evil people in my life. Because I couldn't see the what? God redirected Paul from Bithynia to Troas, to Macedonia, then to Philippi, to walk into Philippi in Acts 16 and come into three people into a place and brought him in contact with three people in a place that Paul didn't want to be in the first place, because God knew more than Paul, because he walks into town and there's Lydia by the shore trying to figure out a Bible study, and Paul leads her to the Lord, and then a girl is possessed with a devil and he casts the demons out of her, and then because he did that he got thrown in jail, and you know the story of the Roman jailer and all, you know, one lady, the Lydia, was from the upper class, and the Roman civil service guy was from jail, was from the middle class, and the demon-possessed girl was from the lower class. And right in the beginning of the story of the church, God wanted Paul to know that the church is for all people. And there's always a what? Why does God give us limits? Number four, maybe so we can actually accomplish what he designed us to do. Or God, you can put in God. What God designed. So many worthy causes. So many calls for help. So many people to serve. So many new ideas. So many emails to respond to. So many appeals to sift through. So many letters to read. So many knocks at the door. So many appointments on the calendar. So many strategy meetings. So many new and improved methods to try. You know this already. Every good idea may not be a God idea. You know that. And there are seven predominant motivational gifts: mercy, teaching, prophecy, giving, exhorting, serving, administration. We all have to ask ourselves, what do we love to do and what do we do best? We all have strengths and weaknesses. In self-awareness, in the study on self-awareness, there are six major questions. And the very first question in self-awareness is, what are you good at? And what are you not so good at? Can you think of some things that you're good at, but you're not good at other things? Tell me something that you're good at. And this is not arrogance or pride. This is part of the class. I accept responsibility for asking you that question. Blame it on me. What's something that you're good at? Okay, never mind. Let's move on. Number five. You're Greg Johnson. You know, he starts on time, stops on time, and if you don't do that, you don't get invited the next year. Why does God give us limits? Number five, maybe because it's possible to neglect our soul care and those closest to us. Say this with me: margins create space for soul care. God created a weekly margin for us. It's called the what? It's called the Sabbath. All of you know that a professional chef can starve to death while fixing food for other people. I asked one pastor, I said, when is your day off? He lives in Syracuse. I said, what's your day off? He said, I don't take a day off. I thought, oh boy, this is going down quick. I said, why not? He said, because the devil doesn't. I said, who's... example are you following? And don't look at me in that tone of voice. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. And then he said to me, actually said this to me in Syracuse, New York. He said, it was such a holy voice too. Brother, I'd rather burn out than rust out. I said to him, either way, you're out. Here's a great thing I carry with me. You can tell how old I am by how bigger my letters get. None of your business. I'm getting emotionally healthy. I'm getting better. Why do givers have to set boundaries? Because takers don't have any. Write it down. Write it down when they want to. Say it again. Say it again. Why do givers have to set boundaries? Because takers don't have any. Dallas Willard said this: the most important thing about you is not the things that you achieve, it's the person that you become in the process. Why does God give us limits? 10 minutes to go. We're halfway home. I can smell the chicken. Number six, maybe because all of us are tempted to validate our value and self-worth. God is the limitless one, we are not. Limits mean I have defined boundaries and parameters to my life, the marks of a creator. Limits reveal purpose and design, allowing us to rest in the way God created us rather than striving to prove ourselves outside of God's design. Our sinful hearts are always being tempted. Our hearts can compare with others and reveal our insecurities. That's where the gospel is so powerful, just where the gospel comes in. If we don't recognize our limits, we'll evaluate our self-worth by how we measure up to those around us. Don't ever come up to me and say, how many are you running? Somebody already asked me that here today. Hey, I hear you're at Binghamton at the church. Yeah. How many are you running? There are more important questions to ask of your pastoral friends than how many you're running. It's not about, am I doing as good as the next guy? It's about, am I doing what God has designed me to do? That's you. That's for you and me. Whatever God's called you to do. Nike. Just do it. Why does God give us limits? Maybe because we can easily, number seven, we can easily forget that we have nothing to prove and no one to impress. How good is that? Not because I said it, just because it's good. It's just good. Nothing to prove and no one to impress. Living within my limits equals living within my God-given design. I don't need to impress those who did not create me or form my purposes before the creation of the world. And I don't need to prove myself when Jesus has already been proven for me. In an interview with Madonna in Vogue magazine, this is what she said. I quote, Madonna said, I quote, my drive in life comes from a fear of being mediocre. That is always pushing me. I push past one spell of it and discover myself as a special human being. But then I feel I'm still mediocre and uninteresting unless I do something else. Because even though I become somebody, I still have to prove that I am somebody. My struggle has never ended, and I guess it never will. Isn't that horrible?
Yeah.
I heard a girl myself, she was 21 years old, 3 summers ago, on AGT. And the guy behind the curtain said, like, what are you getting ready for the big, your opportunity? And he asked her, like, how do you feel? And I'll quote you what she said. She was 21 years old. She said, if I don't win this contest, my life is over. And I thought, you're only 21 years old. Your value is based upon your performance singing a song? Now, there's some pastors in the room who preach. Have you ever, like me, preached a non-top 10 sermon? I've preached maybe a 10, maybe once in my life, maybe. Maybe some 7s and 8s, maybe. I was really grooving. You know I'm 100. I was in the public safety building preaching to 100 inmates in Syracuse, and I was really, it was unbelievable. Zacchaeus, come down out of the tree and God will save you. It was unbelievable. And this lady stood up and she told me to shut up and sit down. She was mean enough to make a freight train take a gravel road. She was mean. Such as me. Why does God give us limits? 6 minutes. All right. Maybe we'll believe the big lie that we are what we do. Gospel identity. You know this. I am who God says I am because of the work that Jesus did on my behalf. I love it when I hear Dan McLaughlin say repeatedly, ministry is less about what we do, but more about who we are. What's that mean? It means we're not defined by our job, our title, our awards, and our rewards. It's not about our references, who we know, not about our resume, what we do. It's not about our resources that we possess or own or wear or drive or anything else. We are not what we do. Number 9, why does God give us limits? Maybe to remind us again that we are only stewards and not owners of His grace and His giftings and His church. Limits remind us who we are and who we're not. Limits remind me of my place and what is mine to carry, but also what is not my place and what is not mine to carry. What is a steward? A steward is someone who manages the affairs of another in their absence. All of us are interim. This is going to be a shock for some superstars that I've met. All of us are interims. Nobody here lives forever here. To the degree of our insecurity, we'll not raise up others to take our place. We will act in a way that protects our position and title and security over what's best for the church. We'll be tempted to live for the immediate and not the long term. A steward understands and can God wants to protect us from what I call the pronoun disease. My church, my people, my pulpit, my flock, my, me, mine, and I. Why does God give us limits? Number 10, maybe so we'll never forget who the real hero of our story is. What's the word you're writing down?
Hero.
Limits reveal and remind us that God is the hero. Can you say that with me? God is the hero, not us. Unless God does His work, it won't get done. I can't fake it. Why did God shrink Gideon's army from 30,000 plus to 300? To show us that He's the author and the sustainer and the provider and the hero of all our stories. Jesus said in John 3:27, I believe, a man can receive what? Nothing. How much? Nothing. Nothing except to be given him from heaven. What's that mean? It means everything we have above zero is by the grace of God.
Amen.
It means when we hold the door for someone and somebody walks in, we're looking to hear those two words. What two words are we looking to hear when we hold the door for someone?
Thank you.
Thank you. Like now they owe. We're not holding the door for them if we need a thank you. The root cause of all complaints is when a person feels like they're not getting what they deserve. And the truth of the matter is, I don't want what I deserve. You don't want what you deserve. How many of you thank God God didn't give us what we deserve? We are stewards, managers, a steward, a steward. Three Greek words in the New Testament for servant. Doulos, diakonos, hupomate in Colossians. Put the three together, scramble them together, work 8 hours and get out the Greek meaning and flush it all together. No, I'll leave the toilet. No, you won't do that. Blend it all together, and here's the definition of a New Testament servant. Someone who advances others at the expense of himself, cares less who gets the credit, doesn't need to be thanked for their service, and takes up their cross without complaint. That's the four hearts of a New Testament servant. So let's finish this. 3 minutes. All of us will minister on the bottom of the sheet there. All of us will minister out of a deficit or a surplus. So let's take time for prayer, reflection, and personal renewal. And on the back, one quote, and then one final Old Testament story. I love how Christine Kane says this. She said, if the light that is in you, write it in, if the light that is in you is not greater than the light that is on you, then the light that is on you will destroy you. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
The light that is in you is not greater than the light that is on you, then the light that is on you will destroy you. Just let me have your ear for the last 2 minutes. In Nehemiah 3, we learn a great lesson. Can you say this with me? Why do we do
what we do?
What a discovery in Nehemiah 3:1. Listen to this. Then Eliashib, the high priest, and the other priests started to rebuild at the Sheep Gate. Can you say Sheep Gate?
Sheep Gate.
They dedicated it, set up the doors, building the wall as far as the Tower of the 100, which they dedicated, and the Tower of Hananel. Why start at the Sheep Gate and the high priest? Because the Sheep Gate was where the sheep was brought in to sacrifice for the sins of the people. In other words, Nehemiah started to build in the northeast corner of the wall to remind his team that the sacrificial system tells us the work we do must always flow from the work that Christ did and has done for us. 1 minute. Oh, I see a five. I see a five. No. One. As the blood offered from the sheep would atone for Israel's sins, so 400 to 500 years later, Christ's blood would atone for our sins, the true and better sheep. He's the Lamb of God. What's that simply mean? We don't work to prove anything or earn anything or protect anything or justify anything or demand anything. We work out of gratitude for the work that Jesus has already done. So why do I do what I do as a minister? Is it because I have 1 minute to justify myself or make you laugh or impress you somehow? Or is it because God made me a preacher and when I teach and preach, I feel his pleasure? Why do you do what you do? And give. It's not for your glory. It's not for my glory. It's to know God's pleasure in your heart that you're doing what he's called you to do. And if you do what God has called you to do and go where God's called you to go and give the way God wants you to give, I have good news for you. God is no man's debtor, and he'll reward you accordingly for your obedience. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for coming, guys. Session number 2, why God gives us limits. All right, thank you so much.